जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना कीरा वनचारी यमुना कीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Thank you so much for joining today. I feel like a little, when we were used to go to school, I was just remembering that so much intensely, I forgot the pavilion there. We used to dress in the saris at age 12. And we had to give a class to our class, and our teachers would sit in the background. And we had to prepare and say something and really try to give our best. And I think same day I have learned so much from each and every one of you. Please bless me that I can speak something of value. And all glory to Srila Prabhupada, and I pray that I only speak from his purpose that really affect our hearts and not add any of my speculations and my shortcomings don't come through. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. Narayanam namaskritya naram cha. Please say, let's say in unison.
Narayanam namasrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayamudirave nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttam shloke bhakti bhakti nashti.
And for new girls, I'm going to translate it in English. I hope you appreciate and relish this. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayana, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human beings, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author of Srimad Bhagavatam. By regular attendance and classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering of service to the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, which is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact.
Gurave Gaura Chandraya Radhikaya Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha.
I offer my humble obeisances unto my Gurudeva and all of you, my Shiksha Gurus, unto Sri Gaur Chandra and Sri Radha and Krishna. Vanchakalpa Dantiyasya Kripa Sindhu Diyai Vacha Patita Naam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo. So we'll start with 16 from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18. Please repeat after me.
Sabe Mahabhagavata Parikshit Yena Pavargakhyam Bhadra Buddhi Jnanena Vayasati Shabditena Bhaje Khagendra Dhaja Padamulam.
And then we'll read the translation because I have to, we'll do the next shloka in call and response. Eh? O Suta Goswami, please describe those topics of the Lord by which Maharaja Parikshit, whose intelligence was fixed on liberation, attained the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of Garuda, the king of birds. Those topics were vibrated by the son of Vyasa, Srila Sukadeva. This purport is very long, so we'll come back to it and we'll move to the next one. Do it in call and response.
Tanna param punyas punyam samvruttatartha. Param punyas samvruttatartha. Makhyanatya adbhuta yoga nishtam. Akhyanayanta charito papannam. Parikshitam Bhagavata Bhiramamu Tanna Param Punyam Samvrutatha Makhyanam Atya Adbhuta Yoga Nishtam.
I have more in Marathi language, in Devanagari script.
Akhyayananta charito papannam Parikshitam Bhagavata Bhiramamam.
Translation, you can read in unison please. Thus, please narrate to us the narrations of the unlimited, for they are purifying and supreme. They were spoken to Maharaja Parikshit, and they are very dear to the pure devotees, being full of bhakti yoga. Purport. What was spoken to Maharaj Parikshit and what is dear to the pure devotees is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is mainly full of the narrations of the activities of the Supreme Unlimited. And therefore it is the science of bhakti yoga or the devotional service to the Lord. Thus it is para or supreme. Because although it is enriched with all knowledge and religion, it is specifically enriched with the devotional service of the Lord. And just touching a little bit on the previous purport, because it's a long purport, but it's a very important one. So I will just summarize the previous purport in few lines, and then we can move back to the next one. In the last purport, the few lines that are very important is that there is some controversy amongst the students on the path of liberation. So path of liberation is very difficult. Some people just learn the philosophies and they just want to get liberated from all the miseries that they are suffering here. There are heartaches, there is loneliness, there is child abuse, there's everything goes on in this material world. Under the most crucial circumstances people live, but they try to enjoy a little bit. And so they want liberation, they just want to get out of here. I was talking to another person who is very versed in the Vedic philosophies, and he knows Vaisheshika philosophy, he knows that philosophy, he knows what is happening in the Hindutva right now. There's a big controversy about Hindutva and Hindus are different, and separate this kind of terrorism from Hindu caste in India. And he can explain this better than me, although I have read so many purports. Yesterday we were reading the Antakalecha Mameva verse, and I said, so what do you think about your last moments of life? And he goes, I don't know, I have never thought about it. So you, in a philosophy, you can think about everybody else, and you know, you have solutions for all world's problems or nation's problems. But when it comes to your own problem of how you're going to pass away from this world, you know, what are you prepared? See, they have no answers. So the liberation, it sounds good, but it's very sad reality of this world if you just want liberation, if you just want mukti. And then three lines later, Prabhupada says that impersonalists meditate upon the glaring effulgence of Krishna, so Brahma Jyoti. And then Prabhupada states after three more lines, Shikhadeva Goswami was also an impersonalist. In the beginning, as he himself was admitted in the Bhagavatam 2.1.9. But later on, he was attracted by the transcendental pastimes of the Lord and thus became a devotee. How many of you are attracted by the transcendental pastimes of the Lord? Right? They are the most relishable. This is what unifies us. Prabhupada said on the that, you know, show your unity. And when we are hearing together, it's kind of forms a bond. One time Radhana Swami was asked, you know, there are so many management problems, and Maharaj, I think we will skip the Srimad Bhagavatam class and we will do this very important meeting on a very important topic, and somebody is coming, and you know, it's really a must. Prabhupada said, you think what you discuss is going to solve the problem? What is lacking in this particular management problem is that you are not unified. And unless you hear Srimad Bhagavatam together, you will not feel that unity, you will not feel that strength from unity. So this transcendental pastimes of the Lord are so important for us to hear, to please Prabhupada. Then a few lines later, Prabhupada says, three classes of devotee, Prakrita, Madhyama and Mahabhagavat. And then he talks about neophyte devotees. Somebody funnily said that, in funny manner said that neophyte means they are new and they find the reason to fight in any possible ways. And I'm in that category, sorry. But the Mahabhagavat, or the first class devotee, sees everything in relation with the Lord. The Mahabhagavat, therefore, does not make any distinction particularly between a devotee and non-devotee. And that's actually such an important thing, that Mahabhagavat, the pure devotees of the Lord, do not make a difference. Am I Kanishka Adhikari? Am I Madhyama Adhikari? I'm a new person, I'm a non-devotee. And that's our only hope, is that pure devotees sees a person like me. Srila Prabhupada gave Krishna Prema to so many people. I have heard this, and I beg to be corrected. ABC, you know, always beg to be corrected. One of the mottos, ABCs of devotional service. is, and please correct me if this is wrong, but I heard that Niki Singer, who invites many, many people to Alachua, he had gotten his life instructions from Prabhupada. In one of the darshans, Prabhupada told him, and he really took it as heart and soul. And Radhika Raman Prabhu talks about few professors. He came across this wonderful professor. He's so famous in his world, and he's like the demigod of that particular philosophy and that field. And he said, you know what he told me? He said, I met your Prabhupada, I met your guru. And he told me this thing. And I was so touched. I was so touched. And I really, really, that was the beginning. That's when I realized what I really wanted to do in my life. And that's when I realized how I wanted to do it in my life. So it was not just what, it was also how. So that true pure devotee, you know, he's so kind. Here it says, next it says, Sukadeva Goswami, he was equally kind, even to the personality of Kali, what to speak of others. And then it goes on, but you know, impersonalist, many examples that he has become personalist. But there has never been one example where devotee has become an impersonalist. And that's really great hope for us. Our devotional service may stop a little bit, but we will not go back, we will not fall back. This is Krishna's promise, you know, Name Bhakta Parashati. So there's a great hope for people like, who may feel a little discouraged, who may feel that, you know, Dharmaraj Prabhu wants to be a very nice example in the class, that you may be on icy slopes of mountains. You may fall down 1,000 feet, but you know, you're going to go back up. So we can, it gives great hope, you know, this the transcendental pastimes, hearing, relishing, speaking, and really absorbing ourselves in Srimad Bhagavatam, and the pure devotees who are non-different than Srimad Bhagavatam. And then in the end, Prabhupada ends this purport, previous one, text 16, as actual freedom from material bondage. These are last two, three lines. Actual freedom from material bondage is called liberation. But attainment of the transcendental service of the Lord is called the perfect stage of liberation. Such a stage is attained by knowledge and renunciation. As we have already explained in Bhagavatam 1.2.12, and perfect knowledge as delivered by Srila Sukadeva Goswami results in the attainment of the transcendental service of the Lord. So we are seeing what is liberation, what is perfect liberation, and how knowledge and renunciation are very important. Now, so going back to the how Maharaj Parikshit, text 17, Maharaj Parikshit is really relishing this hearing, this transcendental pastimes, and the sages are telling Shuddha Goswami, please narrate these pastimes. And then in the end, I want to say there's one small story which Pundarik Prabhu was saying the other day, Indrani's husband. Okay. So here we see that Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, Maharaj Parikshit is relishing Srimad Bhagavatam. And 1.18.3, which we read just 2-3 weeks ago, there was a very important point. Maharaj Parikshit was eagerly hearing this, and then he renounced his associates and he really surrendered to his guru. And thus he became eligible to go back to Godhead. This was the main purport of it. And I kept on really thinking about this verse. Maharaj Parikshit left his attachment. It's Maharaj Parikshit. He was Mahabhagavat. There was a prediction about Maharaj Parikshit that he will be the ruler of the universe. I mean, you and I take four vows at the time of initiation. We say, no meat eating, no gambling, blah. And you know, Maharaj Parikshit didn't just take his vows. He made this entire Jambudvipa planet. It says many planetary systems on Jambudvipa. Not just Earth, not just your country, not just your city. Entire kingdom follow four regulative principles, right? So that's the difference. You know, here we are struggling with our own vows, and here this Maharaj Parikshit, he can establish the entire kingdom in such a way that they are following four rites. And not only humans, he was giving shelter to the animals. The animals could do their own dharma. When one cow was suffering, Maharaj Parikshit took in charge. There was not a single battle he did not win. He was, we take Achman, Ganga's water, you know, and we say Om Avit Pavitra. He was sitting on the bank of the Ganges. In one purport it says Ganges, in another purport it says Yamuna, and another purport it says Amruta Nadeya, means nectarian rivers. So there was not a single, you know, he was sitting there and he was relishing Srimad Bhagavatam. We fast until noon or the day till we get yajna for our initiation. And here Maharaj Parikshit is fasting till death. You know, that's, he's fasting, no water, is fasting till death and really absorbing himself in Srimad Bhagavatam. And we are given Harinam Diksha, and these are my personal observations. We are given Harinam Diksha, we are given Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we call it, you know, Harinam initiation. Maharaj Parikshit was given Srimad Bhagavatam, non-different than Krishna. And you know, he is the example of Shunvatam. He is the example of how we can really hear Srimad Bhagavatam non-stop. And Prabhupada writes in one of those purports that yes, you can really make your life in such a way that 24 hours you are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the difference between Maharaj Parikshit, the Bhagavatam, the pure devotee, the Mahabhagavat of the universe, because of whom Srimad Bhagavatam came. And Prabhupada is speaking about him, how much eager he is to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, I made a mistake and I may think, oh, sorry Krishna, you know, please forgive me. There must be a way to atone this for Shastras. I'll do Tulsi Pita, I'll chant extra rounds, I'll be very careful next time. Parikshit Maharaj, the king of the universe, and he makes a small mistake, really small mistake, and Prabhupada says in the purport, yeah, he was justified in asking, in expecting that. But he realized, there must be something coming for me. And he was completely ready to give up his life and, you know, do what is right and set an example. And that's Maharaj Parikshit. And then we go a little fast forward. Srila Prabhupada came to America in 1977. And what did he bring with him? Did he bring 200 chanting beads? I will help everybody chant. No, he brought 200 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam that he had in his trunk. And how did the Srimad Bhagavatam set came into? Prabhupada used to walk everywhere. Prabhupada used to take a bus and he would write down, I spent 2 paisa on the bus today. It was very rare you would find these entries in Jaladutta diaries. He would say, I spent 2 paisas on this bus today and the rest of all the money that he had, he was hard, sometimes not eating, but it was all going for the printing of these books. It was so important. And who was the proofreader? Srila Prabhupada was the proofreader. He would proofread and he would see that, oh, this word, not correct. And sometimes, just changing one word, you know, he has long purports. He would have to reset the whole screen. And he would do it non-stop. This person is almost 70 years old and he would keep on doing it. He would keep on asking donations. He would keep on proving, no, how important is this? Your paper is on the ration, but this is the most important work. And you know what next Prabhupada said? This Srimad Bhagavatam is so important, even if entire Hare Krishna movement cease to exist, if few pages of Srimad Bhagavatam are left in this world, it can revive the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, entire Hare Krishna movement. This is the potency, because it has Srila Prabhupada's blood and sweat and tears in this. One time, one disciple asked, Prabhupada, there was a lamp in your room. What were you doing last night? He thought, oh wow, he must have written few pages, because everybody was eager that Prabhupada finishes his work soon. And Prabhupada would take, he would go to resting place like Hawaii just to write on this Bhagavatam, and he said, please relieve me of duty so I can finish writing Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was really eager to know what was Prabhupada doing. And he said, I was thinking about one word that few hours in the night. if this is the perfect word, because these are the law books for the next 10,000 years. So such is incredible thing. There are so many Phalashrutis in Srimad Bhagavatam. I would like to read one Phalashruti from 7th canto, which was Lord Chaitanya's favorite canto, 10th chapter, Prahlad Maharaj. Okay? So as we know, little backstory, Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Narasimhadev, he really wants him to take some benediction. So Prahlad says, "No, my Lord, this will be a business." And it's such a sweet pastime. I'm just coming to one purport. It says, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead was greatly pleased with Prahlad Maharaj for his unalloyed devotion. Yet the Lord provided him one material benediction, that he would be perfectly happy in this world and live his next life in Vaikuntha. The Lord gave him the benediction that he would be the king of this material world until the end of the Manvantara millennium, and that although in this material world he would have the facility to hear the glories of the Lord and depend fully on the Lord, performing service to him in uncontaminated bhakti yoga." So the benediction given to him is not that he will rule the world, but how can he rule the world is because, and so for such a long time, is because he would have the facility to hear the glories of the Lord. If Prahlad Maharaj, after all that, is given this benediction, how fortunate are we that we are given this benediction by Prabhupada to hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day. This was one of the most important aspects of his morning sadhana, is that you chant your rounds, you attend the Guru Puja, and we hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam doesn't mean just hearing. Pariprashnena sevaya, so we know that Bhagavatam also means, yeah, you ask questions back and forth, pariprashnena sevaya, but you also serve a pure devotee. And I'll just tell you one quick short story. There was this guy named Pat. He came to Airbnb, and he was this financial whiz. He had made a lot of money in Bitcoin in the inception, Stanford graduate. And I said, "Yeah, please come at 10 a.m. and I'll introduce you to the Eco Farm. We have a really beautiful place." He was burnt up. He was like, "This is so sick. I don't want to make money this way. I've seen people waste their lifetime's worth of savings into stock market, and only rich people make money. And I want to write a book about this." And you know what? I even got a publisher. Not that he wants to expose and all this. He was very level-headed about it. And then I took him to Eco Farm. So I believe Mother Akuti was at the end. Yeah, I showed him 140 types of vegetation, the cows. We touch the cows. We feed the cows. And I showed him the everything, all the whistles and blows and whistles, you know, lotus pond, tulsi garden, how we make the biogas and the solars, we are making the retreats, and this is all eco-sustainable, etc. And then he came to Mother Akuti, and Mother Akuti asked him few pointed questions. It felt to me like she was giving Srimad Bhagavatam class to him. She asked questions that are pertinent to him, and she exactly spoke. She had also given that morning's class, and she just summarized that class and gave it to him. Till today, a few months later, when we exchanged our email, he said, "I really remember that lady, how is she doing?" And he said, "She is so knowledgeable." And he said, every now and then I think about the lifestyle she is living. You guys are not just philosophy. You guys are actually practically doing the thing which I don't see anywhere else." So we discuss it here, but then we see Mother Akuti like person who is implementing it. So people understand teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita when they come to our places. And their heart really opens up. You remember Aggie? She said the same thing, "You people are so sincere." She kept on repeating that. "You people are so sincere, you know. It's really amazing." I'll tell you one small other thing. Is in the Gramadan, Bhakti Raghava Swami takes his bullock around the India, and he carries Srimad Bhagavatam sets. And he's going from villages to villages. You know, right now what's happened is in Indian villages, there's a satellite and there's one TV. And everybody gathers around that TV. These are remote places. Trust me, there is no way you can travel by car there. Sometimes there's no water. And there's a satellite center. There's a TV there. You know, one-eyed demon. So Bhakti Raghav Swami did this Ramadan project, and now many more people, I don't know their names, are on board with it. All goes to them. And they gave one Srimad Bhagavatam to the village. And the villagers are getting back to the roots and reading that Srimad Bhagavatam. Can you imagine having a Srimad Bhagavatam in your village and people are reading it? It just changes the whole mentality of the village, the whole dynamics of the village. And you know what Prabhupada brought? Prabhupada's genius? He brought a spiritual television. He brought a spiritual television to replace this mundane television. The paintings are the windows to spiritual world. He was so keen on each and every painting that went through the books. And so, you may say, we were also doing Iskana Palachua, Mother Sharad Bihari, all glories to her, and Advaita Acharya Prabhu, donated 10 sets. And all these 10 sets have gone to very nice places in India. One is Vitthal Rakumai Temple in Nashik. My friend recently sent me a newspaper article. And he was telling me, I said, you are sure you're going to read if I send you a Srimad Bhagavatam by Vaisheshika Prabhu did an AFTA agreement, and so we get the points and book points and everything. He said, I said, are you sure? You know, he said, the Pujari called me. He said, let you talk to the Pujari of this temple. And the Pujari called me. He was so eager, he would send me at least a couple of messages. In those few days, he did not get the set. He said, Marathi, I'll translate. Unfortunately, we don't have any Pujaris here. All my Pujaris have left over the last 10 to 15 years. Vitthal Rakumai is a big, it's like a Sampradaya deities. You know, we say Radha Madhava or our Radha Vrindavan Chandra or Radha Shyam Sundar. This is very, very sad. You know, the second generation people, the children don't want to worship. There are no Pujaris in the temple. And we want people to come to the temple. So at the they did the morning aarti, our Mangal aarti. And after Mangal aarti, each and every trustee of the temple came. And personally they installed Srimad Bhagavatam, they did a blurb in the newspapers. Now please come to this temple to read the books. Can you imagine? The temples which had become non-relevant, the temples which had become like museums, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam is bringing life back to them. So this is Gramdan. It's very novel project, and thank you everybody who took a set during Bhadra Purnima. It brought life. You know, in the previous verse, Garuda was mentioned, and in Panipedia it says that the Garuda is the aspect of impersonalist feature of the. Is the incarnation of the Brahma Jyoti or impersonalist feature of the Lord. But Srimad Bhagavatam is completely makes you personalist. And I'll give you the exact quote if you need it, what I'm referring to. Then we have Lord Chaitanya. He showed by his example how he was so eager to hear from Bhagavatam. And you know what else he used to do? For 2 hours every day, what do you do for 2 hours every day? We chant, right? What are other activities? I can't think of any other activity you do for 2 hours a day. Maybe cooking, that can really do that, take that much time. But 2 hours a day, Lord Chaitanya has to do one activity. Does anybody know that activity? Huh? He used to argue with Kolvecha Sridhara. You know that pastime? He used to argue with Kolvecha Sridhara over bananas. He used to say, no, give me this banana. Why are you overcharging me? So go to other sellers, Kolvecha Sridhara would say. So go to the other sellers. No, I know a good product when I see it. But you are overcharging me atrociously. Give me the bananas. And he would say, no, but my Lord, how will I survive? Please don't do this to me. But internally, he was relishing. He wouldn't know how he could not resist this little charming boy. And he would finally, Lord Chaitanya would say, I'm a Brahmana, I will curse you if you don't do this. And he would say, okay. But he would say, but now I have wasted so much time. Let me just take these bananas for free. And he would just see the bananas from Kolvecha Sridhara and he would be gone. So, and Kolvecha Sridhara would be just mesmerized by that sweet face, and whatever money he had, he offered to Ganges, the lambs, and I don't know what he ate. It says that he had tattered clothes, tattered hut. When it was rain, it would rain, there would be more water inside than the outside. And in the night, still despite all this, he used to chant very loudly and people used to think that he is craving because of hunger. And this Kolvecha Sridhara, when Mahaprabhu was most happy after chanting and after winning the Nabab Qazi, where did he go after his victory celebration? He goes, call Kolvecha Sridhara, and the devotees say, who is he? You know, you and I don't know about you, but I won't be a devotee without devotee association. Here is Kolvecha Sridhara, on top of it, he's alone. He has no money, no food, no place to live. I mean, who would worship Krishna if you really just saw that example? But he never gave up. And then he just called him, and Kolvecha Sridhara said, I will give you 8 siddhis, I'll give you liberation, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. Kolvecha Sridhara is like, no, my Lord, I don't need any of this. Just come every day and, you know, have that argument with me. Would you like Lord to argue with you? So here Kolvecha Sridhara is not offering Lord Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. He is not offering, you know, Lord is stealing from him. He's not offering tulsi leaf. There are no yantras, mudras, pudras, chants, you know, nothing. No silver plates, no golden plate, no. He's just offering his heart. And that's what happens. Either you serve a devotee or you serve Srimad Bhagavatam. Our heart really gets completely come out of contaminations. And Kolvecha Sridhara, he was such a wonderful example of a devotee, of a Mahabhagavat. There are a couple of other examples in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Mahabhagavats. And then, one generation later, you know, Kolvecha Sridhara used to also have banana curry, banana flower curry. He used to give these bananas, and his Sachimata would make this prep. One generation later, when Lord Chaitanya went to Pandharpur, there was Sri Rangapuri. Sri Rangapuri is his guru's godbrother. He met him in front of Pandharpur DT, Vittal, and he said, you know, your mom made that preparation. What did that preparation have? It had the sweet nectar from Kolvecha Sridhara. And when a Mahabhagavat, like a Mahabhagavat cooks, Those preps are discussed about, and even those preps really go into the hearts and change the hearts. And you know, what didn't Srila Prabhupada do for us? He also cooked for us, and that has changed many, many hearts. And then I would like to read one more glorification of this Amalam Puranam. You know, we say Pibata Bhagavatam, we can hear, drink it like a nectar. Is the Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You know how Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saved once literally by reciting Srimad Bhagavatam? Anybody would like to to say this pastime? Add to this? How Bhaktivinoda Thakur was attacked once by this yogi, and he had so much power in his hair, and the whole, he cursed, and entire Bhaktivinoda Thakur's family got sick, and then Bhaktivinoda Thakur read, or there was one, or maybe this one is about the ghost on one tree was sitting, and it was also bothering Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and so Bhaktivinoda Thakur read Srimad Bhagavatam for 30 days, and then his life was saved, and then he won hearts of everybody around him back, and our ISKCON moment, our Acharya's life was saved by Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada a couple of times wrote about his devotees in two letters. One letter says that the pamphlet you have enclosed is very nice, and I'm going to translate in Hindi, Prabhupada himself, because you have diligently collected all the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam and have presented very nicely our missionary activities. So Prabhupada appreciated his disciples' summary on Srimad Bhagavatam so much so that he will say, I'll spend my own time and translate this into Hindi. And he said, actually we want to establish a transcendental human society in which everything will be perfectly done, so that man will be happy in this life as well as the next. So Prabhupada, he wants us to be happy not only in this life but also next. There's a country named Bhutan, it has a minister of happiness. And Prabhupada is our universal minister of happiness. He's really concerned about each and every person's happiness. And what do we do to pay Prabhupada back? You know, we are in such a great debt by Prabhupada. We please him by distributing his books. What has been given to us, we give it to others. So right now this Gita Marathon is in full swing. And Alachua Temple score is 1540 so far. And we still have 10 to 15 days left. The campaign is called Live to Give. So please, if you have not taken books, please, and this is my humble plea, please take Bhagavad Gita cases, sponsor, distribute. Because when you give Bhagavad Gita, you know, they catch the Bhagavad Gita, they read the philosophy, but when you give, the next thing that happens, slowly they come to Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a girl named Sampada, Gopal Champu Prabhu from Atlanta team. He had given her number to me before they had the women's program going. So they saw how James and there's another boy, Chris, from St. Augustine, were getting cultivated by us. So they sent that contact, Sampada. So I did a couple of chapters here and there of Bhagavad Gita reading, just one-on-one with her. She's 13 or 14 years old from Virginia. And she mail ordered a Gita for herself through them, $10 donation. And then I read a little bit Gita. I asked one of these senior devotee Matajis to talk to her also once on the phone for a couple of minutes. And then I realized she was so interested. We asked her to join our Srimad Bhagavatam daily reading every day. Every day she comes. Now she has memorized Bhagavad Gita. 50 important shlokas. She comes from the Gita classes. She comes from Chaitanya Charitamrita. She asks so many pertinent questions. So when we give a Srimad Bhagavatam, we make a devotee. Last year, 35,000 Srimad Bhagavatam sets went out. So you do the math. And then Srila Prabhupada is the reason he said another two small things, and then I will request you to add your reflections. And please correct me if I have spoken anything ill. I'm most grateful for your most valuable time. Srila Prabhupada said Srimad Bhagavatam is the integral part of our life. Srimad Bhagavatam comes alive in our life. And when we read it and we relish it, we see Prabhupada's ecstasies in each and every purport. And this is beauty of Krishna. But it also, this book, in the book form, is also deity of Srila Prabhupada, because it's his purpose. It's his heart is into it. So when we take books out, we're also carrying Prabhupada's deity to each and every person, so that they get this their good fortune. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. I really appreciate if you have any reflections. And thank you again for your kind attention and giving me an opportunity to speak. Vaisheshika Prabhu says, sell it in the bunches. You know, it's equal amount of effort to distribute the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. After five no's, you get yes here and five now. So it's all his mercy and blessings of devotees like you.
Sometimes I hear this question quite often. different from the other two Brahmanas? How is the Bhagavatam different from the other 18 Brahmanas?
I know you know the answer, but I will say just for my own purification. You correct me if I say wrong. Ramayana, Mahabharata, they are stories. They are completely stories. Whereas Srimad Bhagavatam is philosophy and the story. That's the first difference. It's philosophy and story. When Prabhupada came here, he said, intelligent people, they will love philosophy and stories. You know? And the second thing is that you will see different versions of Mahabharata. In the North Indian version of Mahabharata, Satyavati and Parashar Muni, when they met, there was fog and Vyasadeva is born. In South Indian version, however, they met, then there was a grand wedding, there was a proposal, there was a grand wedding, and then Vyasadeva comes. You know, and there's so much in between the descriptions and preparations and everything. So, if you bring Mahabharata as your centerpiece of literature, you will have North Indians and South Indians arguing with each other. But the genius of Srimad Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's purport is that he unifies the world. And there's only one version. Does that answer your question?
Wasn't that with Mahabharata and Ramayana? The other two Ramas, how is the Srimad Bhagavatam different from the other two Ramas?
Okay.
Shiva Pura, Narada Pura, and the other Ramas.
So those Puranas are mostly stories, as far as I understand. And there's a contradictory things in those scriptures. So much so that people can fight over Shiva Purana is right or this Purana is right. Shiva is the supreme here, this person is the supreme there. So there's no conclusion. There is no conclusion. If I read you the Phalashrutis of Srimad Bhagavatam, it takes away the contamination. Purana is not necessarily, they will tell you the rituals, but they may not take away the contamination of the heart. They may not establish on the path of the Bhakti Yoga. Is that Chandai?
He wants to say, tell me something.
Okay, please.
I was thinking that some of the Puranas deal with five topics, and some, those in goodness deal with 10 topics. But because the Srimad Bhagavatam itself specifically discusses about Lord Krishna,
yes,
thoroughly, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're referring to how Vyasadeva was not satisfied after writing all the Puranas,
yes,
that purport.
You know, and of course you have the topics, creation and migration.
Yeah, sarga, visarga, uti, poshanam, yeah.
But he wants to tell me something. He was saying that maybe the mic is a little too close to you, so when you're talking in tongues, that
is it. Sorry. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. All the sisters of Prabhupada.